Welcome to the How to Buy or Sell a Business Successfully podcast. The concepts discussed in this podcast are for informational purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is intended or formed by this podcast. No legal advice is intended in the substance of this podcast. Feel free to check out our website, www.goformanlaw.com. Enjoy the show and welcome your hosts, Jake Wayman and Sam Foreman. All right. Welcome back to the How to Buy and Sell a Business Successfully podcast. We're excited to have a four-part series on using an SBA loan and purchasing a business or buying into a business. This is the first episode in that series, and we'll get into the others as we progress throughout this series. Today, we're focusing on the basics of SBA lending. Our focus will be on SBA loan programs in the context of buying a business, although they can be used for other purposes outside the scope of this series. That's a great thing to talk to your banker about. It's important to note that the SBA guidance is literally hundreds of pages long and changes from time to time. So please consult with your banker or other professional advisors for more detail and to stay up to date with relevant changes. This series is being recorded in October of 2023. There were some really important updates that were made in August of 2023. So those dates will be important to track for folks that have been familiar with SBA in the past and are listening to this for an update. So we'll cover a lot of practical advice and key concepts to help provide you a good understanding of some key concepts and a starting point on your journey, but we're not going to go into a lot of depth. So please consult folks on your team for more information as needed. This podcast is not legal advice, and no attorney-client relationship is formed by this content. Also, it is not a credit approval for a loan. You have to fill out a loan application for one of those. And please make sure that as you're working through that process with your banker that you ask lots of questions and that you bear in mind that some of the things we talk about today are what the SBA will allow. But just because the SBA will allow it does not mean that your bank will approve it. And so make sure that you have good communication with them throughout the process. And so today we've got a couple of guests with us. Let's start with Jill.
Hi, I'm Jill Garcia, with SBA Administrator at Emprise Bank.
Hi, my name is Ben Wren, also with Emprise Bank. I'm a business banker that focuses on healthcare and SBA lending.
And Sam decided to ask me back to this podcast. No idea why. But my name is Jake Wayman, and my wife and I are the owners of the Orange Theory Fitness Studios here in Wichita, and actually an SBA customer of Emprise Bank, too.
And I'm Sam Foreman. I'm an attorney here in Wichita, Kansas. I love working with folks on buying and selling businesses. All right. So, Jacob, I think you've got the first question here today.
Yeah. So kind of from a business owner standpoint, lots of people kind of wonder, you know, who is eligible for SBA lending? So when you guys look at that, what's that? Who's considered eligible for it?
So really with that, it's just businesses that are located in the U.S. That are operating for profit. There are some kind of eligible requirements as far as doing that. I mean, mostly it's pretty basic. Some of it, I mean, it is small business, so there's a limit on the number of employees that you can have and some things like that. Also, non-illegal businesses, so no drugs, no gambling, some of those type of things. For the most part, pretty open to most businesses that are operating for profit in the U.S.
Walter White will not be pleased. So what can an SBA loan be used for?
I think there's really all kinds of different types of loans we can do with it. Buying a business, buying real estate for a business, doing construction or expansion, purchasing equipment, fixed assets, inventory, supplies, raw materials, work in progress. And one that we've seen a lot of recently is working capital. So we do quite a bit of that as well.
No, that sounds really helpful. So it sounds like that's a pretty comprehensive list. Mm-hmm. So if somebody, you know, meets the requirements as an eligible borrower, you know, they're a legal for-profit business and they meet the size requirements. If they've got a lending need, just having a good conversation with an SBA banker could be really, really a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Awesome. What are some restrictions that most folks might run into on what they can't use the funds for, aside from, of course, buying, you know, lots of illegal drugs.
Right, drugs and gambling again. That's one. I mean, really, the biggest two that we see the most are investment real estate. So that's not what the SBA is there for. There are some requirements. If you're looking at purchasing real estate, you have to occupy a certain percentage of that property, but can't just go out and buy some rental properties or any of that type of stuff. The other one that we look into a lot, or that we kind of bump into, is refinancing of existing debt. Again, we may talk about that more later, but there are some regulations of what qualifies to refinance existing debt through the SBA, and kind of a longer conversation later.
Yeah, no, that's great. So if somebody has a lending need in those areas, you know, still reaching out to their banker and having that conversation to see if there's a different program that might work. Yep. Okay. No, that's great.
Yeah. So when you're looking, when they've got the process started, you know, you know, you're eligible for an SBA loan, you know, kind of what you're limited on, what you're permitted to use it for. So how much can a small business look to borrow?
So again, that depends on the SBA program that you're looking at doing. I would say the majority of loans that we do are most likely fall into the SBA 7A program or SBA Express. With 7A, there's a limit up to $5 million for loan amount. There's also SBA 504, which is a little bit more of a complicated program that involves purchasing real estate, has limits as well. Again, a little bit more specific, a little bit more deal specific on those, but generally like up to 5 million.
But that would be loan amount too, not project cost.
Yes.
So we can look at larger projects, you know, if there's other alternative financing, down payment requirements, things like that. But the loan amount would be limited to that.
Yes,
no, that's great. So would it be a fair statement to say that if somebody's got, you know, meets the requirements, at least in part for SBA, that even if their project is bigger, it's still a great place to start with someone who has, you know, the ability to make SBA loans and to do so efficiently, so that then, you know, rather than trying to figure out as the borrower, what program am I going to fit into, you know, 7A, 504, 7A Express, you know, all those other things, is to really start with the relationship, start with the banker and say, hey, here's where I need to go. Here's what I wanted to do. Can you help me figure out a plan to do that?
Absolutely. I think we definitely like to have the deal come in first and have an overview of it.
Right.
And then we'll help them decide what program would be best or what kind of financing would work best for their situation.
In our situation, we ended up doing a SBA 7A, and then I think we did the Express as well for the working capital.
Correct.
So, I mean, we brought the project into, or the project into buying the business that we did, and they worked with us on what does that look like? What plan are we going forward with? So, yeah, I was definitely building the relationships early and having those available and let them be the experts they are on which program to look at.
And I think just one more thing to add on that. I think one of the things that we've really kind of changed with our process in doing it is Jill and I work together quite a bit. Like, she's on the SBA administration side, like I'm on the lending side. We also have underwriting involved. And so we've kind of adjusted our process a little bit to get everybody involved in that conversation from the beginning, which I think really kind of helps streamline that process. But then it also, we're able to go through with questions that the borrower has about, okay, what about this? What about this? And kind of determine which program might fit better, what some different options are of what we can look at to move forward with.
That's terrific. Can you combine SBA programs? So I know that you mentioned you got like the $5 million limit on some of the programs. Mm-hmm. Could you have a borrower that's buying like the operations of a business and buying real estate, and then they can use 7A and 504 and tap into both limits?
Yeah, absolutely. We can look at kind of like what Jacob was just saying. We did two different kinds of SBA programs for his. And again, sometimes real estate works better in one program than another. Sometimes the asset purchase or stock purchase, whatever, works better in one than the other. So yeah, collectively we can, you know, look at all of it combined, put it together into one big package. Because really, ultimately, at the end of the day, every time we do an SBA loan, we look at it as a full loan package anyways. And so depending on how we break it down can vary depending on what's best for the customer.
No, that's great.
And kind of thinking on that, I mean, it sounds like a lot. So like, what can I expect? How long can I expect the process to actually take when you're looking from start to finish?
I heard you guys discuss this on the previous process, and you may be a little bit more ambitious than other people, but you're also really, really organized on it. I think that answer, it definitely depends, and that's a case-by-case situation on that. I mean, there's so much that goes into kind of the entire process, but honestly, like a lot of that depends on – kind of the one, the team that's involved of how quickly can we get the information from the different parties that we need. Mm-hmm. And honestly, a lot of it's up to you as a borrower. Jacob is a team favorite for the SBA team because he, like our SBA team, Jacob also likes lists and organization and all that mm-hmm. type of stuff. And so they had a really, really effective communication process where we were able to get through it really quickly. But I mean, sometimes delays kind of happen of if we don't get the information back that we need, we can't move forward at certain stages until we get that information. So that can slow it down.
What kind of on the delays, like what do you see as like, what would be a delay that would delay the process? Like what are any specifics that kind of point out to you?
Yeah, a lot of it can depend on reaching out to some of those third party contacts. So sometimes mm-hmm. an insurance agent can't write up a policy fast enough and we need that before mm-hmm. we can close, gotcha. Whether that's insurance on real estate, on the business assets, or life insurance, because especially life insurance is one, depending on the amount of life insurance that's required, it might require a little bit more than just a simple life insurance application and mm-hmm. then getting a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So that's things like that, I think, is working through those other third party to get all their mm-hmm. things done. And sometimes attorneys too, mm-hmm. You know, we need
are
them
not
to,
a fast break.
You know, we need those contracts to come in, maybe leases, all kinds of things that we're waiting on to come in so that we can review them, make sure that we're good with them too. So that we can move on down the road to the next stage of closing. So,
you know, what type of impact do you all have as lenders have on the process?
I think just speaking from, I mean, lenders in general on the process, mm-hmm. I would say like if you're looking at possibly doing an SBA loan, make sure that the bank and the lender are familiar with the SBA process. Mm-hmm. I know we've bumped into a few other ones where people have maybe been at one or two other different banks and kind of have been dragged along for a little while. We just had one recently where someone was working with a company. It was an online company about purchasing equipment. And got referred to us, and they'd been talking to them for 6 months, had filled out all of the SBA paperwork. And then the company reached out and said, oh, we just found out we're not eligible to lend in Kansas. And like, that could have been a day one conversation. Yeah. But no, I think one other thing that I would mention is, so Emprise Bank is an SBA preferred lender. And the meaning of that is that we've done enough SBA loans to qualify as a preferred lender. So if we go through the underwriting process internally and we approve the loan, we're able then to move forward with it and proceed without having to submit it through the SBA for a secondary formal approval. So that can also really help expedite the process just because it kind of starts the underwriting process over again through the SBA.
How long have you seen that secondary approval take for other folks?
Well, right now it's a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. Right after COVID, it was, you know,
still waiting.
Yeah. 30, 60 days, things like that. It was a long time. I mean, right now they're moving them around a little bit quicker. I think it's about a week, but, you know.
Sure. So you've got, you know, a couple of weeks on the end of your bank's process if you're not working with somebody who has the ability to kind of be in that preferred program.
Could be, mm-hmm. yes.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Or at least that's what I would tell a client to plan for is a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Allow that wiggle room if they're not working with somebody who has that preferred status so that they don't have like, I mean, especially as we're into the fourth quarter right now, if somebody has a deal that needs to close, you know, by December 31st, you don't have wiggle room if you're bumping right up against it.
Mm-hmm. And correct.
There's a lot of deals that are going to close towards the end of the year. And so I would anticipate, or I think I would counsel people to anticipate that any of those secondary approvals are going to take longer, depending on what time of year you're at. And you really want to make sure that you get that out of the way as quickly as possible.
Well, and once you have our approval, you know that you have our approval.
Exactly.
Otherwise, then we're sending it to the SBA and they may come back with questions again, you know, and so then you're back in line again with them if we have to resubmit something. So,
and I think from a borrower's perspective, you have a lot more confidence knowing that, hey, you know, when my bank that's got the ability to approve this tells me something, I can rely on it rather than thinking, okay, I got to go through all the way through the process and then it's got to go to another set of people who I don't have a relationship with to then tell me whether or not that's actually going to work.
Yeah.
So, which can slow down the whole rest of the process because some folks will manage costs and will manage process around, hey, I'm waiting until I know that for certain. And because I can't, you know, have that same level of confidence on the banking relationship, I'm going to wait until I have that secondary, you know, approval before I actually approve it. So that can add even more time to the process. So, okie dokie, moving on here real quickly, want to hit just some of these in rapid fire and we'll get into some of these in more detail over the rest of the series. These are some key changes in August of 2023 with the update to the SBA rules. Buying or selling ownership in a business, we'll get to that one in more detail in one of the next episodes in this series. How much down payment is required? We'll talk about that in more detail as well. How much can the seller finance? How long and what can the seller do for the buyer post-closing? So what kind of services can the owner provide to kind of help that transition from the sell side? What kind of collateral is required? Is life insurance required? Are personal guarantees required? And then kind of what are the underwriting requirements? And so we'll talk about all of those in a little bit more detail over the remainder of this series. But that's a pretty good list of some key items that have changed that may be a little bit different for somebody who's maybe been through an SBA loan process in the past before the update. So let's kind of talk about some of our key takeaways, or if there's just kind of one nugget from this topic that you'd like folks to take away. Jacob, what's a key item you'd like folks to have stick with them?
Yeah, from my perspective as a business owner that's been through the SBA process, it's build the relationships early. There's so many pieces of this puzzle that you don't understand where they all fit, but it's understanding who you need to build relationships with, mm-hmm. whether it be your banker or your attorney, your accountant, those mm-hmm. sort of things, and really understand the process that you're going to go through as well.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, it's really plan well and manage time. A lot of deal processes die because time's not managed well. And so there's so much of that planning that shouldn't happen 30 days, 60 days after the deal process really gets going. It should happen at the beginning with, you know, asking about, hey, what kind of life insurance requirements are going to be in place? What sort of insurance requirements are going to be in place so that those underwriting processes can start on time and don't end up causing a delay later in the process? Mm-hmm. Ben, how about you?
I mean, I think for me, I would say communication is a big piece of it. going back to what I said earlier, we can move forward as quickly as we kind of get the information that we need to do it. But that's why I think just making sure everybody's on the same page, because we need to know what Sam and his team are working on. Like, he needs to know what we're doing. We need to know where we're at with real estate, with accountants, like all of that type of stuff. And so just making sure good communication and everybody's working same direction, same time.
Especially, I imagine, when things change.
Yes.
Which has never happened in any of my days. Yeah.
Also important sometimes to let your banker or your attorney know that things have changed, because that may also alter that
process
a
little bit. And buying the real
estate now. Yep.
Oh, you are? Okay, that's great. Yeah. How about you, Jill?
I would say don't be afraid to ask questions, because it might be information you need, or it might be information that we need to be able to put together the whole package. So that way we know going forward what this is going to look like.
No, that's great. That's great. Well, one of the things we like to do on the podcast here that's a big priority for us is we want people to have an amazing deal experience, or at least as best as we can help with it. We don't control third parties, so we're still working on that one. But so one of the things we try to close every episode with is a wellness tip and something that's going to help you have a better experience with your deal. Jill, what kind of tips do you have for folks?
Yeah, I would say, kind of backing on what Jacob has keep talking about too, is having the right team, and trying to get in contact with the right team members that have, especially if you think it might be an SBA loan that you're going for, that is well-versed in SBA, whether that's your attorney, accountant, banker, they're going to have the knowledge that you're going to need to be able to get through that transaction and that whole deal itself.
No, so. I think that's great. I mean, so much of what folks are looking for is confidence. And there's a lot of anxiety that's just baked into these processes. So many unknowns, and there's a lot riding on it. For some folks, it's the biggest deal they'll ever do, or the biggest deal in a really long time. And making sure that you have the confidence to know that, you know, your team's got you covered is a big deal. So, yep. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode as we discuss the basics of SBA loans. Join us on our next episode as we discuss using the SBA to purchase the assets of a business.
Thank you for joining us today. For future episodes, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And please check out our website at www.goforemanlaw/learning.